pastor was visiting a nursing home that had some patients with Alzheimer's. And he went around praying with people and trying to encourage them. He walked up to one lady, asked, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No, but if you go to the front desk, they can tell you." You know, in another situation, United Airlines flight out of Denver was canceled. A single agent was trying to rebook the flights of everyone there who's all inconvenienced. Suddenly, an angry passenger pushed his way to the desk, slammed his ticket down on the counter and said, "I have to be on this flight, and it must be first class." Well, the agent replied, I am sorry, sir, but I will be most happy to help you, although I am trying to help everyone who was scheduled to be on this flight. I'm sure we'll be able to work something out." Well, that passenger, he was unimpressed. He asked loudly so that the passengers behind him could hear, "Do you have any idea who I am?" The announcer got on the microphone and she said, "May I have your attention, please?" As her voice bellowed throughout the terminal, "We have a passenger here at the gate who does not know who he is. If anyone can help him find his identity, please come to gate 17. And although the flight was still canceled and the people were late, they were no longer angry at United Airlines. They were angry at that guy. Well, I want to say welcome to Sunday school, or summer Sunday school, everyone. For the next 9 weeks this summer, we're going to do some review of some of the major themes of the Christian life. Now, for some of you, this will be the first time you have heard these truths. For others, it will be reviewed to you because, number one, it is important to remember what truly matters. And number two, some of you may not have been paying attention the first time around. So, like any first day of school, we all need to meet the teacher. No, I am not the teacher. If anything, I'm the teacher's aide. The real teacher in the Christian life is Jesus. He is the one that you need to meet today. Jesus Christ is the most famous person in all of human history. If you think about it for a moment, there have been around 60 billion people who have walked on planet Earth throughout the dawn of time. Of those 60 billion, only a handful have made any real lasting impression. Only a few people have really pushed the needle of human history one direction or another. People have actually changed the world. And in that handful of people, there is one person who stands head and shoulders above all the others. That one person, his name is Jesus. And he is the teacher that we are all going to meet today. More attention and devotion and criticism and adoration and opposition has been given to Jesus than all other people combined. Every recorded word he ever said has been sifted and analyzed, scrutinized and debated more than all the philosophers and scientists and politicians who have ever lived. Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, yet after all that time, there is never one minute on this earth that millions are not studying his word and gathering together and giving worship and praise to his name. Now, if you think about it, we have a person we're talking about today who lived on a tiny land no bigger than the state of New Jersey. Yet, his birth divides the centuries, B.C. and A.D. B.C., of course, stands for before Christ. A.D. stands for in the year of our Lord. This is the year of our Lord 2019. He never wrote a book, yet library after library could be filled with the millions of volumes that have been written about Jesus Christ. Jesus never painted a picture, yet the world's greatest art, dramas, music, and greatest literature in all of human history has Jesus Christ as the center and as the source. Jesus never raised an army, yet millions have died for him. He never traveled far from his birthplace, yet today his testimony goes around and around the world without end. He had only a handful of followers during his earthly ministry, yet today over 2 billion people around the globe proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and coming King. And those who make predictions about the future and who estimate the growth of Christianity believe that in the next 30 years there will be over 3 billion people on planet Earth following the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the earliest hymns of the church is recorded in the New Testament book of Philippians. It was a hymn that Paul recorded, and he was making an illustration saying this is the kind of life that we are supposed to live. But yet, this hymn was sung by the earliest of Christians, gathering together in homes or in caves or in churches or catacombs someplace. And they would get together and they would sing this hymn that Paul records for us in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. And I'll begin reading that from verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used as his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This morning we're going to ask a very simple question: who is Jesus? That is the question that has been asked over and over throughout the Gospels. Who is Jesus? Who is this person? Who is this one? And we're going to be looking at several of those questions. You know, as you read through the Gospels, you don't have to learn very much about Jesus to discover that he is one with astonishing power. On one occasion, Jesus was in the boat with some friends. As he was sleeping in the back of the boat, a furious storm came across the lake and the waves were sweeping over the sides of the boat. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 that the disciples went and they woke him up saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves. Who rebukes the winds and the waves? I mean, we might say something to the storms, but Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." These men had a general idea who Jesus was. They knew he was a good preacher and he could tell some great stories. But that night, in the middle of that storm, they received a better understanding of who Jesus was. They learned that this Jesus that they had just started following, he is someone with astounding power. Everyone, you know, they seem to want to talk about the weather these days, don't they? I mean, the problem is our opinions do not control the weather. Sometimes people ask me, they say, "Pastor, could you pray about the weather? Because we have this wedding that we have planned for the fall, and we'd like to have an outdoor thing, and wondering if you could pray, and it could be a nice day for us." And I'm like, "Who do you think I am?" I mean, I say, "Hey, weather is not my department. I'm in sales. I'm not in management. So I can put in a good word for you, but that's about the best I can do." But Jesus does more than just put in a good word for us. Weather is his department. In fact, all of creation is his department. Not only does he control nature, but he created nature. He created everything from atoms and angels and ants to crocodiles and crickets and clouds and elephants and feathers and electrons and frogs and eagles and seafoam and diamonds and dust and dinosaurs. He created raindrops and sweat drops. Jesus created dewdrops. He created blood drops. He created you. He created me. He created it all, everything, all that is seen and unseen. When it comes to Jesus, he created everything. All things were created by him and through him and for his good pleasure. We think that this is all for us. No, it's not. It's all for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When it comes to Jesus, not only does the entire universe belong to him, he made it all. In the very same storm that scared these seasoned sailors to death, it was the same storm that rocked Jesus to sleep that night. He did not fear the storm because he rules the storm and he rules everything. His authority He is not merely seen in controlling the weather, though. This astounding power of Jesus is also seen as he healed the sick with just one touch of his hand, or just a spit from his mouth, or a word from his lips. Jesus brought healing to the worst and most hopeless situations. He has the power over little things, like when they ran out of wine at a wedding feast. He has the power over big things, like how do you feed 5,000 people with a lunch that a little boy just donated? The power of Jesus is so great that not even distance can contain it. He healed a child who was 20 miles away because his dad ran all that way so he can say, "Oh, Jesus, please help my son. He's dying." And in four simple words, they traveled over those 20 miles. And Jesus said, "Go, your son lives." And at that moment, his son regained full health. Jesus has power over weather, over nature. He has power over distance. He also has power over time. What time has taken away, Jesus is able to restore. There was a man who was crippled for 38 years. The community left him near a pool, which they believed would be stirred every now and then by an angel. And whoever got in first, got into the water, whoever that first person was, they believed they were healed. I don't know if that really happened or not, but that's what they believed. How many years did this man pray that the angel would come and visit them? How long did he lay in the shadows, watching helplessly for the stirring of the superstitious waters? Without fanfare, Jesus walks up to that man. He was around with a place called the Pool of Bethesda. Jesus asked that man something very important. He said, "Do you want to be well?" What a question to ask. Do I want to be well? I've been sick for 38 years. Yes, of course I want to be well. But you know, when you really think about it, sometimes we put up with brokenness in our lives for a long time. Sometimes we put up with sin in our lives for a long time. Sometimes we put up with situations in our lives for so long that we just get used to it and we give up believing that anything could ever be any better. And Jesus asked this man that day, he said, "Do you want to be well?" Some of you need to ask that question yourself. Do you want to be well? Because there is one standing before you today with astounding power. He is able to heal. He is able to give life. He's able to restore what time and habits and hang-ups have broken and taken away from you for a long time. And the man said, "Well, you know, every time that the angel comes and the water is stirred, somebody else beats me to the water and I'm just stuck right here." Well, Jesus did not stir the water, but he did say to the man, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And immediately, brittle bones and shriveled muscles began to grow. What time had withered away, Jesus healed in an instant. And that's incredible. The power of Jesus is astounding. He has the power over all of nature. His power stretches over time. His power stretches over distance. But what about in the spirit world? Does Jesus have any authority in the spirit world? Oh, yes, he does. He demonstrated his power over demons by casting them out. What about our biggest enemy of all? You think, well, isn't that the devil? Well, maybe. But one enemy we will all face sooner or later is the dark door of death. Does Jesus have any power over death? Yes, he does. He raises the dead, and he himself came back to life again. The astounding power of Jesus has no equal. There is no one, there is nothing that even measures close to the power of Jesus Christ from the grave. Not my power, not the power of Satan, not anyone else, no power whatsoever. The power of Jesus Christ is unsurpassed in all of eternity. You know, power is great, but Jesus has more than power. He also has infinite wisdom. Mark chapter 6 records a surprising reaction to Jesus, this time by his hometown. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in a town called Nazareth. And he began his public ministry, and he was going around doing some great things. Eventually, he came back to his hometown. And in Mark chapter 6, we read that Jesus went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach them in the synagogues. and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What is this wisdom? Underline the word wisdom. What is this wisdom that he has been given? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. But incidentally, a little sidebar here, some believe that Jesus was the only child that Mary ever had. However, Mark chapter 6 begs to differ. Because here we see the names of his brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and don't even mention all the sisters, but they're there anyway. He had at least 5 siblings. And by this time in his ministry, Jesus and his reputation had spread far and wide. Most likely the townspeople had snickered when they heard these crazy stories of miracles that this Jesus was performing. After all, they knew Jesus before he was Jesus. They knew him way back when. They knew his brothers and sisters. They knew his parents. But they discovered rumors that they heard. They discovered those rumors were actually true. They couldn't believe their eyes. Even the people who knew Jesus best were asking, who is this man? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? He spoke like no one ever did. His understanding into the human condition still baffles the experts. He knew the inner thoughts and the intentions of his most faithful followers, as well as his greatest enemies. Nothing stumps Jesus. Nothing phases him. Nothing surprises him. Jesus, he knows and he understands. He totally gets it. He has astounding power, this Jesus. He's the teacher. He has infinite wisdom. Aren't you glad that the teacher that you get to meet today has infinite wisdom? But wait, as they say in the commercials, but wait, there's more. And there is so much more. I mean, we could talk the rest of the summer about Jesus and about who he is and what he does and what he's able to do. But Jesus, I will say this, the third thing, Jesus is also the one and the only one who forgives sin. As he was teaching inside of a house, a large crowd gathered around. A stream of dust began to fall all around Jesus. Sunlight began to pour in through a hole that was being cut into the roof right above him. And then a paralyzed man began to be lowered down on a mat right in front of Jesus. They laid him right there in front of the whole service. Jesus looked at the man and said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And we read that, we're like, say, what? You know, that's not why he was here. You know, his 4 friends who picked him up from home and took him to the church that day. His 4 friends who lifted him up on the roof of the church and began to cut a hole in the roof. His 4 friends, they were bringing him to Jesus because this guy was paralyzed. He could not walk. And they knew that Jesus could heal. And that's exactly what Jesus can do. In fact, he did heal this man. But the first thing he said to this man is, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Right in the front row of the church that day, there were some Pharisees, religious leaders, teachers of the law. They began thinking to themselves, "Now, who is this fellow? See, who is it? Who is this guy? Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" Yes, guys in the front row, that's a great question. You know who this person is. It's Jesus. Who does he think he is anyway? Forgiving sin. I mean, I can understand, Steve, if you stomp on my foot, I mean, I choose to forgive you. I mean, John, if you would steal my money, I could forgive you. But what's Jesus doing here? This man didn't step on Jesus' foot. He didn't take Jesus' money. Yet he announced that he forgave him for hurting and stealing somebody else. It's just craziness unless Jesus is someone very, very special. In fact, this wasn't the only time Jesus pronounced someone to be forgiven. He did this time and again. He told people their sins were forgiven. He never waited to consult with the other people who were affected by the selfish choices of the guilty party. He acted as if he was the main person who was hurt, as if Jesus was the one who was offended most by those sinful, selfish actions. The only way this makes any sense at all is if Jesus really is God whose laws were broken, and he is the one whose love was wounded by every sin. And every time we failed to follow him, every time we disobey Him, and all the times that we fail to be the people that God wants us to be. Yes, the one who was broken, who was hurt more than anyone else, is Jesus. I mean, what was the question these leaders asked? They're sitting on the front row. He said, "Who is this one?" I'll tell you what, He's no ordinary man. He is one with astounding power. His wisdom is far greater than anything we have ever known. His willingness to forgive even the worst of sinners is inspiring, because that worst of sinner is me. And He truly was willing to forgive all our sin, no matter what we've done, no matter how high the pile of disobedience has become. Who is Jesus? He's the one with astounding power. He's also one with infinite wisdom. He's the one who forgives sin. Who is Jesus? He is the Savior of the world. Many people wondered, who is this man? It's a question He posed to His followers. He asked them, who do people say I am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah. Still others think you're Jeremiah or one of the Old Testament prophets. But then Jesus tightened down the screws on them. He said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And that is the question that every one of us need to answer. Who is this Jesus? Is He some figure that we read about in human history, like Washington or Kublai Khan or Marco Polo, some historical figure way back when, and maybe He did some really neat things, and yeah, that's inspiring? Who is this Jesus? Is He merely a man, or is He someone so much more? Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That word Christ means anointed one. You see, in Israel, to be the Lord's anointed is to be the king. The Jews waited for centuries for a very special king, a Savior or Messiah, who would usher in a new way of relating to God, and He would bring peace and bring prosperity and bring freedom to the nation. This person would not merely be a king, He would be the king. The astonishing fact is that Jesus, the King, has all His power and all of His wisdom and all of His willingness to forgive even the worst of sinners. The astonishing fact is this same Jesus that we've been talking about this morning, He is the one who willingly paid for the sins of the world on the cross. He willingly gave His life in the most brutal fashion, allowed His life to be taken from Him, to pay the penalty for all of our sins. As He hung on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. And that's a word that means, it says, the word is tetelestai, and it means paid in full. A few years ago, some friends gave us a free week stay at Cocoa Beach, Florida. Yeah, those are great friends, huh? What an amazing gift. We didn't just have a motel room. We were able to stay in this luxury suite that had separate bedrooms and two baths and a full kitchen, a balcony overlooking the ocean. The place had its own pool, had its own fitness room, and its own private beach leading out into the Atlantic Ocean. It was incredible. I remember walking in the main lobby, and I gave the lady my name, and she said, oh yes, Mr. Solon, your friends have taken care of everything. Just sign here to receive your complimentary room. Wow. She didn't ask for my credit card. She didn't ask me to put down a deposit. There was nothing I needed to do because the room was paid in full. What I needed to do was to receive the incredible gift that was purchased for me. When Jesus died on the cross, He took our punishment for all the wrong we have ever done. He paid our debt in full. He didn't pay for some of it. Jesus paid it all, as the great hymn says. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So let me ask you a personal question. What sin is keeping you from God? Is it anger? Is it lust? Is it a hard heart of unbelief? Is it alcohol abuse? Is it uncontrollable temper? Or is it cheating or stealing? Is it adultery? Is it pride? Is it greed? Is it homosexuality? Is it a racial prejudice? Is it a bitter spirit? Let me tell you the best news that you've ever heard. It doesn't matter what your sin is. Jesus paid it all. It doesn't matter how high your sins have been piled up in your life. Jesus paid it all. It does not matter how guilty you think you are. Jesus paid it all. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how many skeletons you have rattling around in your closet. Jesus, the one with astounding power and infinite wisdom, the one who's willing to forgive, He paid for all of your sin and offers life and freedom in His name for everyone who believes, including you. All of your sins have been stamped by God. Paid in full. All of your anger, paid in full. Your arrogance, paid in full. Your gossip, paid in full. Drunkenness, paid in full. Adultery, paid in full. Embezzlement, paid in full. Lying, paid in full. Disobedience, paid in full. Laziness, paid in full. Pride, paid in full. Murder, paid in full. Bribery, paid in full. Every sin, paid in full. Jesus gave His life for you and me on the cross to pay for all of our sins so that we can be set free. He wanted eternity with you so badly, He was willing to give His life to make that happen. Somebody asked the question, so what? That's a huge question. So what? So Jesus has all this power and wisdom and forgiveness. So what? So He's the Savior of the world. So what? Why does any of this matter? Well, just think about it for a moment. Because of His astounding power, there is no problem He cannot solve. Do you have a problem in your life today? Jesus can solve that for you. He has the answer that you're seeking. He knows the solution you need. There is nothing too hard for Jesus because He has astounding power. Nothing's too hard for God. And because He has infinite wisdom, there is no situation He can't understand. Are you confused? Do you need directions? Do you need insight? Do you need guidance? That's exactly what Jesus offers you. The Bible says if any of us lack wisdom, we can ask God and He will give it to us. There is nothing too tough for Him to tackle. No. There's also no sin that He cannot forgive. He offers something that all of us long for, a second chance. He offers a fresh start. Isn't that what you want? He offers you real freedom. That failure that you keep hiding from, hoping that nobody discovers, Jesus will forgive it all today if you ask Him. Because He is the Savior of the world, there is no person He cannot save. You may be thinking that Jesus can't reach your husband or your wife. You might think Jesus can't save your mom or your dad or your friend who seems to want nothing to do with God. No matter what it looks like on the outside, Jesus is working on the inside. He can save anyone. He can save you. He can save me. At St. Paul's Cathedral in London, you can find this picture of Jesus called the Light of the World. It's actually the second picture that the artist created. The first one he painted, and it was at a college. The college was charging money for people to come view that incredible picture. So what the man did in his later years of life, the artist, he recreated the Light of the World. He created a life-size image of this, and now hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral. In this picture, Jesus is wearing a king's crown and a priestly garment. And He carries a lantern. As Jesus stands at that door knocking, you may notice right away that, but you have to look close and you'll see that there's no handle on the outside of the door. If you look at that door, you will see that door has not been opened in a long, long time. The only way the door can be opened is from the inside. And the Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. That picture was placed in the cathedral in 1904, over 100 years ago. If you look at it today, you will see that Jesus is still knocking. you know, presidents and kings, prime ministers from around the world, they never knock on any door. They have other people open doors for them. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the one with astounding, unlimited power and wisdom, the one who offers forgiveness and grace, the Savior of the world, he knocks. He stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. Can you hear him knocking? Isn't it time to open the door and meet the teacher? I've done my very best to introduce the teacher to you, but to meet the teacher, that is something that you have to do in your own heart. As Jesus stands at the door of your heart and he knocks, will you open the door? Will you meet him? He said, if anyone opens the door, I will come in. I want to pray for you right now that you would allow the Savior to come in. Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you that you stand at the door of every heart and that you knock today. You've been standing there for a long time and you've been knocking, and I believe, God, that there are those this very day who hear you knocking. Perhaps there are people here in this church who hear the voice of the Savior calling their name. Perhaps it's someone who's listening online who just hears the voice of God and hears you knocking on the door of their heart, and they would like to open that door today. I pray that they would do so. It's not that difficult. We make it far more difficult than it really is. I pray that this moment, as they hear you knocking, that they would say, Jesus, I am so sorry for all of my disobedience, for all the ways that I've lived outside of your plans for me. I hear you knocking, and I, by faith, this moment, I open that door. I open my life to you, to your wonderful grace, your power, your wisdom. Forgive me and help me. Make me a brand new person. And now, Lord, as I arise from this place, I know that you are the Savior, not only the Savior of the world, but you are the Savior of my soul. I trust you. I choose to live for you from this moment forward in the powerful, wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.